We start with a case of spectacular failure to protect the weak, and a young 16-year-old boy determined to hold out for the truth.
It was weird from the first day I was in there. From the first day they put the handcuffs on me, it was weird for me. I mean, because I knew I didn't do it, and then I don't know this dude, and then I know that they're not, I felt like the police wasn't conducting their job correct. So I knew from the first day I was in there that everything was wrong. But it was hard. Knowing that for the whole 3 years was very hard. And then it came to the point when they offered me time served. And that's when it really got real, real stressful for me, because being in there for about 33 bumps, and you miss everything. Everything about being home, the fresh air, your family, certain events, you want to be home. And then when they give you an offer to go home right then and there, it's like, I want to go home, but then you know you didn't do it, so you don't want to take the plea and say that you do it. It's not right.
Khalif Browder told the officers that first questioned him when he was arrested in the spring of 2010 that he didn't do it, steal a backpack from an accuser who could not even recall accurately when he had been attacked. That's Khalif speaking there to the Huffington Post after spending more than 3 years at the Rikers Island Jail in New York awaiting trial. During that time, he never lost his resolve to maintain his innocence. He did lose hope, though, on a number of occasions.
I tried to resort to telling the correction officers that I wanted to see a psychiatrist or a counselor or something. I was telling them I need mental help because I wasn't feeling right. All the stress from my case, everything was just getting to me, and I just couldn't take it. I just needed somebody to talk to. I needed to just I just needed to talk and be stress-free. But the correction officers, they didn't want to hear me out. Nobody wanted to listen. So when I tried to kill myself at one point, which was in 2012 March, at one point I tried to kill myself.
What did you do?
I had ripped my sheets on my arm. I had ripped my bed sheets and made a noose out of it. And I had hung it to something that's on the ceiling, a light fixture. And I was about to jump, and the correction officers they opened my cell. And when I jumped, they grabbed me, they cut me down, they threw me on the bed. They had gave me a lot of punches. They stomped me on the bed. They took my sheets, my books, my covers, and they stomped me for about 2-3 trays straight.
So they punished you for this?
Yes.
They attacked you and punished you for this?
Yes.
Browder received a number of severe beatings, some that were caught on video. He spent hundreds of days in solitary confinement. Finally leaving Rikers in the spring of 2013 because his case was dismissed, he realized that the price for maintaining his innocence was to lose his childhood. Journalist Jennifer Gonerman wrote about Khalif's case and his struggles with mental health after his release in The New Yorker last October. Senator Rand Paul spoke about him on the campaign trail. Mayor Bill de Blasio here in New York cited his case in calling for reform at Rikers Island. Khalif even received personal help from Jay-Z and Rosie O'Donnell. He enrolled in community college, but he was clearly a scarred, lonely, and changed young man. His last suicide attempt succeeded last weekend at his mother's home in the Bronx. He was 22 years old. Joining us is Stanley Richards, former Rikers inmate who is now on the NYC Board of Corrections. Stan is also the senior vice president of the Fortune Society, an organization that aims to support successful reentry from prison and promote alternatives to incarceration. Stanley, welcome.
Thank you, John.
Everything went wrong here.
Absolutely. Khalif's situation is a situation that really identifies what's totally wrong with the system from the very beginning to the very end. Here's a young man, 16 years old, gets arrested for allegedly stealing a backpack and is given a $10,000 bail, first of all, and then prosecuted for 3 years and then dismissed, having the case dismissed. So this situation is so wrong in so many aspects. At the Fortune Society, we talk about the refining the system in terms of our policing strategies, in terms of our strategies in holding people accountable in incarceration, and about what we do to provide opportunities for people to change their lives. And Khalif's situation is just very, very sad.
So many people who are observers of Rikers and are critics of Rikers even say that this case is extreme for Rikers. How did Khalif get lost? How did his case continue to be delayed by prosecutors who would ask for a week and the delay would be for 6 weeks because the Bronx courts are so overloaded.
Yeah, and Khalif's situation, let me say, is not unique. There are many men and women who are incarcerated who have been on Rikers for very long times, fighting their cases, trying to protest their innocence, and they have to go through this brutal system, and it takes years to process cases in the Bronx, in the city, period. So his situation in terms of people fighting their cases is not unique. His situation is not unique in terms of the brutality of what goes on in jails in our city and in our country. It's just a reality.
Let me just ask you a question that was raised in at least one of the stories on Khalif. And that is, you know, I've got two 16-year-olds. If I took one of them and put her in solitary confinement for 2 years in our home, I would be arrested and convicted very swiftly of a felony, and my child would be taken away from me. But Rikers can do that to a 16-year-old, and it's like, you know, no big deal.
Well, now the Board of Corrections has changed the standards around solitary confinement. The Board of Corrections, which I'm a part of now, did rulemaking in January and implemented strict rules about the way in which Department of Corrections can implement punitive segregation. So now the Khalif situation will never happen again to someone else. We implemented rules that state people can only be in solitary confinement for 30 days. After 30 days, they have to be released back to general population for 7 days. Nobody could stay in punitive segregation for more than 60 days over a period of 6 months. So the Board of Corrections took steps to make sure that the Khalif situation never, ever happens again.
Although, you know, let's look at this in detail. I mean, here's a guy who's arrested. There's a presumption of innocence, right? I mean, he's committed no crime as far as the system is concerned. He's just awaiting trial. Mm-hmm. All right, so no crime, presumption of innocence. He's in this jail. You know, he looks at a guard wrong or gets into a fight with another inmate. There's mm-hmm. no court that convicts him of bad behavior. Mm-hmm. They just can throw him in solitary confinement, a punishment that would probably exceed what he would get for the original crime that he's in there for. They can do that without any due process at all. I mean, he is so powerless. It reminds
Absolutely.
Me of Gitmo.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, the World Health Organization and the UN has determined that more than 15 days in solitary confinement is considered torture. And yet that is permitted to happen throughout our country in our jails and prisons. But one of the things that we've been doing as a board is really looking at that. Our role and our job as the Board of Corrections is to provide oversight and accountability to the department. I feel like the city council with Speaker Viverito, the mayor, and the commissioner we have in Department of Corrections, that we have the people behind the movement to do right by the men and women who are incarcerated and to really change the system.
Before we go, though, can you just take me into Rikers and give me a sense of what it's like, or just your emotional reaction to a young man who goes in there, loses his childhood, and comes out a person damaged beyond repair who kills himself? Basically, the die was cast when he was released in 2013.
John, I went out to Rikers a couple of weeks ago, and I was an inmate out there. When I was out there, the feel of the building, the interactions between inmates and correction officers were totally different. Now you go into the jails. Every jail, it's so tense. From the moment you walk in, nobody has movement without correction officers. People are either dressed in uniform or they're dressed in clothes. And you can just see there's no sense of hope. There's no sense of life. There's no sense of anything is going to be different in my life. It's just a pool of hopelessness. And part of what we try to do at the Fortune Society is to provide perspective, provide hope, and provide people a foundation to build a new life. And in Rikers right now, it's not like that. It is just an intense, depressing situation.
It was a death sentence when those cops came over to question him on that street about a backpack that was stolen.
Absolutely.
By someone who couldn't even remember when it was stolen.
Absolutely. And I look at the judge, the district attorney, the Department of Correction, they all have responsibility for what ended up happening to Khalif. The fact that the judge gave him a $10,000 bail, the fact that the district attorney decided to prosecute him and hold him in jail for 3 years, What were they thinking about this young man, 16-year-old kid, accused of stealing a backpack? What were they thinking when they put him in Rikers Island? What were they thinking?
Stanley Richards, former Rikers inmate who's now on the New York City Board of Corrections, and he's the senior vice president of the Fortune Society, which helps inmates with their reentry process into society. Stanley, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.